we're scoring about 5% in our test of what's the universe made of.
The Bible describes the real world as we know it. It has the ring of truth.
What kind of country is it that we live in when you can't tell a child why his father was killed because you didn't want him to grow up hating white people?
Does the human race deserve to continue?
From the Center for Public Christianity, you're listening to Life and Faith. I'm Simon Smart. In this episode of Life and Faith, we're doing something a little bit different. I went to a funeral a couple of years ago of a friend who had lived a long life and had done a tremendous amount in the span of time he was given. His name was Rod West, and I want to take this episode to tell you about him. He wasn't Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King. He was, at one level, an ordinary person, but also not that ordinary. He lived the kind of life a lot of people look at and go, that's what it looks like to live life well.
Well, I was one of his students, and I had lots to do with him because I was a pretty active part of the school and I was a good student and participated in lots of things. But actually, the greatest influence I think he had subsequent to my time at school was that we made a commitment to catch up every year for dinner. Actually, we only made this maybe 6, 7, 8 years after I'd left school, so it wasn't immediate. And so for the next 20-odd years, we were catching up most years, when I was in Australia at least. And I think he had more influence on me over time, partly because seeing someone through the whole course of their life, and I mean literally seeing him right through to his last days when he was diagnosed with a very severe cancer, I felt that I should come over and say goodbye to him. There's just so few people. It's such a rare and wonderful thing to be able to look at someone at the end of their life and say, you've absolutely had a wonderful life, a full life, a complete life, a life well lived. And Rod was exactly that. He had, you know, I looked at him, you know, in his hospital bed in Greenwich Hospital in his last days and felt, I'd love to live your life, you know, and I'd feel an incredible sense of fulfillment at a life of, you know, achievement and service and character and, you know, godliness in the truest sense as well.
That's Tim Dixon. His life is pretty interesting as well. He's worked for two of Australia's prime ministers. We'll hear more about that later. But you've probably gathered from what he said here that Rod West was a teacher. He was a headmaster of Trinity Grammar School in Sydney for 21 years and had a huge impact, not just on the school as a whole, but on student after student after student who went through during his time there. Rod became known as one of the nation's great educators. In 2004, he was made a member of the Order of Australia. His memoir, The Heart of Education, was published after his death. Tim says he considers Rod the first Prime Minister he ever met.
I was always interested in politics. I subsequently went into politics as a Prime Minister's speechwriter and other things. So I actually always saw him as a bit like a Prime Minister, and that I went to a school that was like a country, and he had his teachers and his, you know, senior officials around him who were like his cabinet. And I thought he had this sort of the charisma of, well, in fact, in those days, Bob Hawke was Australia's Prime Minister. He reminded me a lot of Hawkey because he had this sort of larger-than-life presence. And you know, our notion of a prime minister probably has changed since the days of Bob Hawke as the prime minister and folk hero, as he was described then. But Rod had that character of largeness. But I think that what's interesting about him is how many people had a sense of personal connection to him. So, I mean, a famous anecdote about his life is that he made a commitment that to all of his school students that if he did not know their name by the end of the second term of their first year at school, then he had to give them a free caramel or koala, I think it was, or a Freddo frog or something like that. And it was his own sort of discipline on himself to force himself to learn the names.
A lot of teachers who don't manage that with their class.
In their own class. And there he had 1,000 students like that. And what was, it wasn't just a thing of like, I'm memorizing your name. I mean, to give you just a direct example, there was one guy who had no contact with Rod, left school, you know, was not a strong student. I think actually didn't even make it all the way through school. In his early 30s, he contracts a serious cancer and he's terminally ill. And the one person he asks to come and see him and then to conduct his funeral is Rod West. And Rod thinks, well, this is strange because I haven't seen this guy since school days. And he says to Rod when Rod comes in, you know, you're the person who understands me and understood me and understands me more than anyone else. You've been a profound influence on my life and I want you to take my funeral. And that's the remarkable, the nature of the connection that he had with students was that people, and of course the families and parents and so forth, was that they sensed this direct connection, this personal connection, and he had this capacity, this largeness of spirit that so many people could be encompassed in that. It's a very rare trait. It's especially rare in an era where, I mean, if you actually think of the job of running a school, it's a massive management challenge. There's so many things to worry, to burden, you know, the CEO of a school, so to speak, all the finances and the staffing and the regulatory compliance and blah, 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 blah. And Rod had this capacity to cut through all of that and to think of the most important thing.
Yeah, I just remember Rod as such a character. I mean, he was funny, he was engaging, he was interesting and interested. Right? An incredible encourager, wasn't he?
Exactly. And just, yes, relentlessly... very open as a person, very open to new experience. I remember when he retired that he gave me this long list, as long as your arm, of the things that he now planned to do, the masters that he was going to acquire, he was going to learn to cook, he was going to travel to this many countries, etc. And that was Rod Lowe, but there was always this sort of zest for life. And that was infectious. I think that, you know, you always left a conversation with Rod West, you know, feeling a bit of an upper.
I remember Rod telling me stories of people stopping him in the street, boys he'd known from 20 years before, and they'd ask him to pray for them because of something going on in their lives. His impact on people was enormous, and his Christian faith was very much bound up with that.
He had a remarkable ability to bring a sense of the transcendent to everything. I think that I might actually, just to illustrate this, because I think I said it better when I wrote a letter to him, literally when he was on his hospital bed, which was more therapy for me than it was for him. You've always had a wonderful sense of the theatrical and you've brought exuberance and vitality to classrooms and dinner tables all the course of your life. But more than that, you've always brought a sense of transcendence to every endeavour, whether it was a chapel service, a Latin class, a prefix meeting or a bunch of lifeless bureaucrats working on a government report, which is something he did after he finished his time at Trinity Grammar. I think you've helped me understand a larger God than I encountered through the trenchant evangelicalism of my late teenage years. I remember challenging you once on how you equated the sunset on a mountain on top of a Greek island or a snatch of Keats' poetry to more explicitly spiritual experiences of transcendence. So I was, I think, narrower. And so I could see truth and God in a scripture, but not in a Greek mountain. And so I say to him, you responded good-heartedly. You'd seen it before. And I guess you had the confidence that my dualist understanding of the sacred and profane might one day give way to understanding that a God who created such diversity, such beauty, and such capacity for us to appreciate it clearly wanted us to encounter him in every dimension of life. But the way you brought this sense of transcendence to the lives of so many in such a contagious way, it's just the most wonderful legacy.
This is Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. The famous phrase that may or may not have been said by Socrates is that the unexamined life is not worth living. It's meant to be about self-examination. But if the number of biographies and autobiographies on the bestseller lists are anything to go by, examining other people's lives is also a solid lead when you're trying to figure out what makes life worth living. I wanted to devote this episode of the podcast to Rod West, a great educator, mentor, and public Christian, really because of the way that people talk about him. Nobody thinks he was perfect. He would have been the first to admit that. But you can hear something like awe in their voices, and also a lot of affection.
It was 2007. It was the lead into the 2007 election when we on the Labor Party side won government, Kevin 07. And I was... running a part of the shadow cabinet meeting where we were looking at our education reforms, and education was a big focus of our leading into the election campaign. And we were talking about, we wanted to announce an inquiry, essentially, around the what was being called the education revolution. And the question was, who would be a good person to lead this? Who would be a unifying figure, you know, maybe who perhaps, you know, had a little bit of a conservative sort of tinge to him, etc. And so different names were coming up and they were all shooting down. And then I thought, like, what about Rod West? Has anybody heard of Rod West? And a few people knew him around the table and said he'd be brilliant. And Kevin Rudd, who was opposition leader then, didn't know the name. And what I was trying to say to Kevin was that Rod would be great because he really likes you personally. But Rod's like not a political guy and doesn't sort of have a really sophisticated political judgment. It's not his background. What I actually said was Rod West is great. He's got pretty poor political judgment. He really likes you. And we pretty much had to shut down the cabinet meeting at that point because the way it came out just sounded like I really didn't want to have my job any longer.
Not as you intended.
And yeah, Kevin wasn't sort of known as being the most tolerant of the dunce in the room. But I passed that story on to Rod, of course.
That.
He loved it.
Tim Dixon has worked for two Australian prime ministers, including Kevin Rudd, as you just heard him say. But when he talks about who's been influential in his life, Rod West is a name that stands out. And the same is true for a lot of other people. You can trace the ripple effects. Of the teachers who worked under West, 31 went on to become school principals. At least 50 boys he instructed went on to become ministers of religion. To give you a sense of the reach of his influence, when Rod retired in 1996, 3,000 people showed up for his farewell at the Sydney Opera House.
Well, it's really striking how many people who now are in leadership positions in church world and the schools in Sydney and beyond came through those years that Rod West was leading Trinity. So I think that is most obviously his legacy. There's a model there for an authentic, engaged, people-centred leadership in different walks of life. I'd love to see more people like that in politics, for example. Mm. And I think that's how I see Rod, not just in the education world, but in that larger sense of, like, we need more models like this. I feel privileged to have had that proximity to someone who's such an inspirational person.
Do you miss him?
Oh, a great deal, yeah, yeah. And I guess, you know, I came back to see him and his family was extremely generous in allowing me to come and spend some time in those last few precious days when everybody was wanting to speak to him and you know say goodbye to him, I guess. The thing about that experience for me was it's going to sound strange because obviously death is just an incredibly traumatic experience and very sad. But there was something deeply joyful about the experience. There's an old Roman expression, Ars Moriendi, the art of dying. It's about dying well. There is a sacrament of death. So it belongs to a spirituality of a different era to our own. But I feel that being there, seeing Rod in those last days, I saw a little bit of the sacrament of death. It was very touching. It was actually really positive. And it was the realization that, you know, there is tremendous sadness, but there was something just really, it was just a privilege to see that. I shared this poem with him, because John Donne, one of his favorite poems, Death's Jewel, but I think it just captures this really well. Donne wrote, "Our critical day is not the very day of our death, but the whole course of life. But whether the gate of my prison be opened with an oiled key by a gentle and preparing sickness, or the gate be hewn down with a violent death, or the gate be burned down by a raging and frantic fever, a gate into heaven I shall have. For from the Lord is the cause of my life, and with God the Lord are the issues of death." Mm. And he really made that true. Mm. He really made it true in those last days. I remember, you know, one of the last moments I had with him as he was talking about, you know, the pain and suffering and laughing at the friends that he's calling him who were complaining about their arthritis as his body was racked with pain. And then he just heaved himself up on the bed and he said, but then there's the resurrection.
There's a great hopefulness in that, isn't it?
Always a smile as well. Like he just never took himself too seriously. So that was just it's a great spirit to be able to carry into the last days of your life.
If Rod West was here, what would he tell us is the shape of a life well lived?
I think it's a life of service and a life of dedication and a life of giving. Because the thing about a conversation with Rod, it was rarely about himself because he was always interested in others. It's this very outward focus, very others focused. But also, you know, quite profoundly, I mean, Rod had a deep Christian faith. And I think of those verses in the book of Philippians, whatever things are lovely and good and pure, noble, honourable, think about those things. I think Rod embodied that. You know, a good life is a life that embodies goodness in a sense. And he had that was him, you know, somebody who managed to not be consumed by the causes for bitterness or hate or regret or all of those things. I mean, many things assault us in our lives. He had his share of all of those things, but somehow he found a way to live beyond that and above that, and he shared that spirit with others and made us want to be part of that too. And that's a great life.
From the Centre for Public Christianity, you've been listening to Life and Faith with me, Simon Smart. Rod West's memoir, The Heart of Education, is out now. Rod's mantra was, the heart of education is the education of the heart. The book was edited by Graham Anderson, one of the 31 teachers-turned-headmasters under Rod's leadership. And the final chapter was written by Rod's wife, Janet, after he passed away in January 2016. More conversations on life and faith are available on our website, publicchristianity.org, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just type life and faith in the search box to find us. Next week.
So people weren't saying to you, Claire, but you must be a writer.
No, no one.
Okay.
No, except for my year four teacher.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mrs. Richards, her name was.
Oh.
She told my parents that they should give me an exercise book. Oh. And some pencils and just let me write stories.
Wow. So you always had stories, you always had characters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I do, you know, in primary school, my whole world was like I lived in this pretend world with I'd make up characters for myself and I'd imagine, you know, these whole entire worlds. And it wasn't until much later when I started doing interviews and things like this that I kind of connected the dots of what I was doing before, creating narratives essentially.
Because you thought everyone did that?
Yeah, I thought it was normal. Yeah. And then I got to high school and realized, not normal.